This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome to another BritFlix.com podcast. My name's Stuart Wright, and today's guest is Amru Alkadi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure. My absolute pleasure. Now, we're here to talk about your debut feature, Layla, and three films that have impacted everything in your adult life. Before we get into any details about the process of making this movie, do you want to give the audience a brief synopsis as to what Layla's about?
Yeah, okay, sure. So Layla is about a British Arab drag queen who is very confident on the surface. You know, they're a drag queen. They seem to be very kind of uncompromised about who they are and defiantly who they are. Yet they, you know, have a habit of also being a people pleaser and changing who they are in order to please different people. And so I suppose the film is really about how this one Arab drag queen code switches their way through life, and they're always sort of triggered by a relationship that they're in with a lovely but a bit more conservative white gay man. And throughout the film, they augment their identity, who they are, according to the people or relationships or family dynamics that they're in. And so, yeah, I suppose the film is a funny, fun, drag-tastic exploration of changing yourself and how you express yourself.
What was the kernel of the idea that gave way to the movie that we see now?
I mean, you know, we started working on it in sort of 2017, 2018, so it's a long time ago now, but I suppose the initial sort of thing that I was thinking about was just, you know, in a lot of LGBT representation on screen, there's a sort of idea that there's a kind of monolith of gay identity. And at the time, I was really thinking about fragmentation and the fact that, you know, different gay people or queer people have very different ideas of what it means to be gay or queer. And so I wanted to look at the internal conflicts within the queer community and the fact that, you know, no one's sort of coming out in this film, or it's, you know, it's not a film about repressing your sexuality, but more about how you express your sexuality and how Layla and Max, you know, both out to gay people as you were, but they have different ideas of how to fit into society. And I suppose I was always very interested in this idea of code switching, this idea that a character like Layla, you know, a kind of Arab, Muslim, non-binary drag queen, constantly can augment who they are, whether that's for their family or their lover or their friends. And I just was really interested in this idea of this one character having so many different selves.
So from having those two different characters, then what and wanting to explore that kind of changing of codes, and like you say, it's not a film about somebody coming out and struggling. It's how people differentiate between what their sexuality is and what their representation is as a person, where they sit fluidly in the gender and etc. So what was the storytelling challenge for you in pulling that together? What do you remember being the difficult things that you really fought with? And
yeah, I mean, I suppose, you know, I didn't want a lot of plot, and also I suppose there's an expectation with stories like these, you know, queer stories, Arab stories, to have a level of quote-unquote conflict or quote-unquote sort of trauma or drama, because that's how we sort of think about queer stories. It's usually about coming out or violent families or whatever. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to just, you know, I didn't want external conflict or violence or coming out or trauma. Instead, I wanted it to just be about internal conflict and these micro dynamics and shifts between people. And so I guess the story is much more about incremental shifts and nuances and changes of identity that are smaller. And I guess, you know, that's a story challenge just because it's not relying on lots of narrative or plot.
As a journalist, I've interviewed a couple of drag queens when I was up in Manchester and when I first moved down to London. And one of the big things that, and when I interviewed them, they were out of drag character, but I was interviewing about their drag character. It was a really, really sort of, it was almost like a sort of abstract concept. And then the night they were DJing down on down in Coventry Street, they were in full drag, and it was like I'd never met them before. I had no concept that drag could be such a shift between who you are and what you can then project. Which obviously any kind of performer might well say that, but in this sense, it was sort of in leaps and bounds I'd never experienced before. So how did you find that as a character for Layla? Because that means you can go lots of places, doesn't it? In terms of and as you know, if I just for the audience's perspective, as a straight white man watching it, it was amazing to see how far your life can sort of be divided up if you've got all these different people in your life and you are trying to please them, yet you're also wanting to live your own life.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's fun in terms of audience expectation, because for the first sort of 20 minutes or 30 minutes of the film, you know, Layla is in high drag for a lot of it, and they have this real kind of, you know, sort of certainty about who they are and how they like to express themselves. And then, you know, the rug is pulled a little bit and you realize how vulnerable they are out of drag and how they have to conform a lot of the time. And so I guess in a lot of sort of kind of narrative about drag, it's all about, yes, it's the sort of way to express who you are. But there was a little bit that I was interested in this film of maybe drag is a way for Layla to lie and to pretend that they're more confident than they are and to pretend that they know who they are. When actually, I think as you watch the film, who they are is a little bit sort of nebulous because they change and lie all the time. And so I was maybe trying to slightly undermine that idea that drag is certainty about who you are.
But also underneath it all, there was that sort of universal truth that I guess most people, if not all people, are looking to be loved for who they are. And if you can't work out who you are, then that's a very difficult thing to match up with.
Yeah, then that's why the relationship goes wrong, because Layla doesn't really know how to express who they are because they're a sort of moving target. You know, they just change all the time. So it's really hard for Max, the love interest, to fully grab hold of who they're dating because it's so nebulous.
But also there's the flip to that though, isn't it? Because Max is sure of who he is, but then he wants Layla to be sort of a piece of his life, but not necessarily all of his life.
Well, you know, Max seems to be certain about who he is, but actually I think he's very, very lost, and being with someone as exuberant and expressive as Layla makes him feel confused or lost or not enough. And he wants Layla, but he doesn't, it makes him feel quite bad about himself a lot of the time. And so, you know, they're both, you know, really, if you take the queer angle out, I think it's just a film about people not communicating or expressing what they want because they don't know. You know, I think so many of the problems in the film could just be solved if they both just said, this is what I'm feeling, but they never, ever have an honest conversation.
Yeah. So like I say, for me, that's kind of that ultimate thing about we're looking for love, and it's quite hard to find if we can't really express what we're looking for.
Yeah, I think that's really at the heart of the kind of more universal message of the film.
Bilal Hazna plays the lead role. What was the journey like in terms of securing Bilal as the lead, or was that always the lead?
No, I mean, we had an amazing casting director in Shaheen Baig and brought us lots of brilliant options. But just there was something about Bilal when they brought him in. I mean, I think we can all agree that it's just an extraordinary performance. I'm just really just an amazing actor. But I think, the trick with a character like Layla, I think, is they inhabit all these different identities and all these different selves, and they commit to each of them fully. When they're in drag, they're fully drag. When they're, at a Muslim wedding, they are really inhabiting that role as well as they can. When they're dressing more conventionally to meet Max's family, they really play the part and they commit to the part. And so we needed someone who could do all those, it's always almost like an actor who could play five different roles all very, very well. And we met loads of people, but, they could usually do one really well and the other one you could tell that it was really, and just Layla can do it all. Like Bilal could do it all.
And do you, when you were shooting the movie then, do you remember any points or any decisions that Bilal made when you were shooting that elevated the character beyond even what you imagined it might have been?
I mean, Bilal and I spoke a lot about not being emotionally too expressive in a lot of the dialogue. Bilal says stuff, or Layla says stuff, where they actually emotionally mean the opposite. Just like little examples like, you should come to this event, even though Layla's thinking, don't come because I've told my friends that you're awful. But they don't know how to say to Max, look, it'll be awkward if you come. So they just sort of say, come, yeah, great, But Bilal was able to do those lines convincingly so that the character that they're acting with believes the lie, even though the audience at home can kind of tell that they're lying. And so Bilal can just really do that sort of what they're saying or what they're feeling or counteracting each other. And that's just really hard to do.
Indeed. It's like an actor's workshop within of itself.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's just a really nimble, gorgeous actor. I mean, he's just exceptional.
In terms of the look and feel of the film, what were your discussions like with your cinematographer, Craig Dean Devine, about what you were doing? Was there any references maybe beyond film that you were discussing that were helping to shape what this film was going to look like?
This film is really like about drag.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a love letter to drag and queer creativity and the fact that, drag queens create so much beauty and are able to just work so creatively, even with minimal resources. And so in terms of the cinematography, there was a few things that we always talked about, which was that every location should feel really distinct and like its own world, just in order to get that sense of code switching and that sense of, Layla being a chameleon moving between different worlds and locations. So we definitely gave every location its own cinematic language and its own color palette and its own shooting style. And that reflects, I think, the tone of the film, which jumps around a lot from comedy to drama, from rom-com to coming of age, because the whole film really is a comment on fluidity, really, and this idea of like being in the in-between, which is obviously like a really major sort of plot point in the film, but this idea of just constantly fluctuating between space and tone and identity. And so that was something we always wanted to get, this idea of moving between spaces.
how representative is the deep dive we get into the world as a love letter to drag, and and the film does a deep dive into that as part of showing Layla's fluidity in terms of which world do they live in. How representative is it? I mean, for example, and these are moments of levity in the film, but you know, when Pride's taking place and they're in the drag club and it's like, fuck Pride. It's like, it's almost like we're outside. So we're not even part, like, you know, the national media would go, yeah, there is queer community, there's LGBT. And then you've got, then you're showing the club night in the drag club during Pride, and they're being anti-Pride.
It's all very specific, but I suppose we definitely didn't worry too much about realism, mm-hmm. whatever that means, as in we created the club of our dreams. We created locations of our dreams. They live in a really sort of fantastical queer utopia. The club is massive and fantastical. So sort of emotionally and thematically, it's all very true. But instead, we just sort of, instead of kind of keeping it true to London, we decided to just make whatever we felt wanted as queers. So it's a sort of fairy tale version of queerness, because obviously, like, gentrification's happening. A lot of these venues are closing down. And so instead of worrying about that, we just decided to just create our kind of utopic queer world.
But even within that utopian world, I mean, we get maybe some of the things we expect, which is the having to go back to his Arab culture, where he goes to Layla goes back to family in the suburbs, and where the relationship with Max is it will we or won't we? But what I found fascinating was the tug of war going on with Layla and the drag pals. Like, there was almost like this, are you in or are you out, you know, kind of thing at some point, where it felt like you're meant to be, I thought you were meant to be friends. And it's almost like, if you're not fully in, then we don't want, it's almost felt like we don't want you in, which was a surprising element of conflict for me.
Yeah, I mean, that whole tug of war that you're talking about is really what the film is about. Like, Layla trying to find the space where all of them can inhabit. And, you know, and I think one thing I'm proud of in the movie is that there are no victims or villains. I think everyone is quite badly behaved and quite well behaved. And you know, the friends aren't perfect. They're mean and exclusive sometimes. And Max is quite kind and they ignore him. And Layla lies all the time. You know, I think it's just about that, trying to find the one place where they belong. And in the end, they find a way to just spin their way into belonging. I don't want to give too much away. But yeah, it's, I don't know if people can just belong in one place. And I think maybe the film is about embodying that multiplicity and allowing yourself to be full of contradictions. I think at the heart of it, it is a film about contradiction and the fact that we can be many things at once. And how do we do that, you know?
Thinking about then when you were in the edit with this film, what new elements of story emerged in the edit that wasn't present when you were writing the screenplay?
It is always present in the screenplay, but you might not even notice that it's happening. One thing that was clearly in the script that we didn't fully think about was, well, two things actually. One was the fact that Layla tends to run away from confrontation physically. I think there are three or four instances in the middle of twice with the sister, twice with Max, once with the friends, where they're in the middle of a sort of uncomfortable merging of worlds, and they just run away and end the conversation. And obviously that was in the script because we had to film it all, but we didn't realize until we were watching in the edit how many times Layla just runs away mid-conversation. And so that was something we just had to amplify. And the spinning motif was always written in, the way that the camera spins and the way that Layla's spinning all the time. But again, it wasn't something that we really fully kind of realized was a trope until we saw just how many times it was in there. And then obviously, then with the Sufi spinning, and then we realized, wow, actually, this is really one of the major metaphors of the film. So it's always in there because you shoot it and it's clearly there in the script. But sometimes you don't realize how kind of integral it is, I suppose, to your visual language until you are in the edit and you go, wow, we really should hold on to this more, I suppose.
From your own life in drag, what did you bring? What did you bring into the story that gives you most satisfaction when you see it on the screen now?
I think for Layla as a character, drag is, you know, they're a young character around 21, 22, and drag is a way for them to feel confident. And I think when you try the film, when they're in drag, they are, you know, there's a scene early on in the film where they do a performance that's very sort of radical and uncompromising, even though off stage they're quite shy and unassuming. And that is definitely something I learned in drag, that, you know, when I'm in drag, I feel like I have the license to say and do whatever I want. And I think in Layla, when they're in drag, they just sort of feel unfiltered and uncompromising to just say the most radical things. And there's a scene in a corporate party where they take, you know, food and smother it on themselves and say nuts things. And I think, you know, that's just something I, kind of a confidence that I learned through drag, I think.
And I must say, that's when that scene was over, and it was quite near the beginning of the film, I thought, I knew I was in safe hands.
Because what do you mean?
Well, as a watcher watching a film, you know, when a film starts, and then there's this really sort of almost like light. It's light. It's funny, but it's confrontational because it would take some. You know, they're doing a corporate gig, for want of a better expression, and they go. If you've got zero fucks, we've got even more zero fucks than you have, and sort of then own it. And I thought, if this is where we're going, I mean, you know, when you're deciding on a. You know, you're always thinking when you're watching a film for the first time, where are we going? Can I trust the filmmaker and that kind of thing? And it was like, right then I was like, right, we're going to be okay with this. This is going to be great.
Oh, that's good to hear. That's really good to hear. Thank you.
Because you're introducing us to people in a world that we're not familiar, but actually you don't do that at all. You take us to a world we're familiar with, which is, you know, corporate offices, glass, but, you know, the City of London, you know, it's, and then you put them in it and go, what happens? And then it's like, they go, well, we're going to be ourselves. You can take it or leave it. And that's kind of, and I guess that's.
I love that scene. I really love that scene. Yeah, I'm proud of that scene.
And then the opposite end of that question then is, how did you avoid yourself getting in the way of.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The story, thinking, oh, what do I remember? What do I experience? Whereas what does the film need?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fictional story. I mean, that
of
was
course, of course.
Me, you know, I have written about my own life in my book Unicorn, which I am adapting into a TV show, but I really kept that separate. And you know, Layla's a lot younger than me, and you know, that was a thing to really think about, which was, you know, like not judging, you know, I'd say the film has a lot of naivety to it in the sense that they're young characters and they say silly things and they act quite stupid. And, you know, you get nervous as a filmmaker being like, I don't want people to think that I'm naive or stupid, but you just have to remind yourself that your characters aren't you. And if they say or do stupid things, it doesn't mean that you believe those things or that you are. You know, I think there's a risk with minority storytelling. You know, when I write a character like Layla, which is, you know, like me, an Arab drag queen, that I may be advocating for what they're doing, but I'm not. I'm just presenting what they're doing. And so, you know, again, that's why I say I'm trying to really let go of responsibility of representation. You know, definitely in the next things I'm developing, they're so twisted what the characters do that I hope no one thinks that that's what I'm advocating for. because I'm not, I never am.
Thank you for that. Talking us through the making of and themes within Layla. It's a beautiful film, a film that sort of has universal truths as well as specific stuff, and bringing you, for those not familiar, it takes you into worlds for you to explore. It is available for Home Entertainment now, and we are now moving on to three films that have impacted everything in your adult life. Right, the rules are simple, Amru. You've given me three films. We're going to give you 5 minutes per film to talk about why they impacted on you, what the fond memories are for you that are associated with those films. And every time 5 minutes are up, we're going to hear this sound. Okay, does that seem simple enough?
That sounds great. I'm looking forward to it.
First out the gate is Marcello, I think it's Chiatonu, debut feature that was inspired by Walt Whitman's poem, I Sing the Body Electric, which gives a big clue to the title, is a character study of a 23-year-old gay man who hasn't figured out what he wants out of life. I'm talking about 2017's Body Electric that Variety said is realised with sensitivity as well as a complete lack of pretension. But for you, Amru, what's the impact for you? Where do you see this film first?
I saw it at BFI Flare Festival, LGBT Film Festival in 2017, with Savannah James Bailey, who's my producer on Layla, and who also produced four of my short films and is, you know, a longtime collaborator. Mm-hmm. I had a really intense emotional reaction to this film. It's not a particularly sort of heavy film or anything like that, but what's really remarkable about it is usually in gay cinema, you tend to have white masculine men mm-hmm. who are dealing with repression and masculinity. And I grew up on a lot of those films, whether it's, you know, Brokeback Mountain or, you know, God's Own Country, which, you know, both really remarkable movies.
Yeah.
But as, you know, a feminine brown queer person myself and someone who's a drag queen and someone whose friendship pool involves a lot of femmes and trans people and non-binary people, you know, the sexual representation of queer life is usually limited to gay men in mainstream cinema. And this is the first time that I'd seen drag queens and femmes have great sex on screen, be really funny and acerbic and hot, mainly have great sex lives. And drag queens in mainstream cinema tend to never be sexual. You know, if you think of the character Belize in Angels in America, they have all the really funny one-liners and the great monologues, but they're the kind of asexual one.
Mm.
You know, it's a trope in gay cinema where the drag queen is got funny one-liners and is smoking in a La Perla dressing gown, but they never have great sex lives. You know, it's all reserved to just masculine gay men. And so in Body Electric, you just really enjoy the beauty and femininity and sexual lives of these incredible femme characters. And it's just a celebration of their lives without trauma, which is what Layla's like, I suppose. You know, it's immersing you in a queer world without a sort of straight gaze obsessed with violence. It's just, you just enjoy their lives for their beautiful queerness. And so it had a huge effect on me. And it also taught me that you don't need to force things on your characters. It's unpretentious, as that quote said, because they're just moving through the world, having sex, having relationships, going to work. They're not having to deal with violence or coming out or oppression. It's just, they're just living. Mm. And I hope Layla feels a bit like that.
Yeah, because it's slice of life, isn't it? Which I guess in straight cinema is a fairly normal thing, isn't it?
You never see it in queer cinema.
Yeah. So I suppose that's kind of part of the, and then if you then take it to like what you've done with Layla, you go, here's slice of life for someone who's drag. And then it's like, okay, where does this go?
Exactly. That's the point anyway.
Indeed. So You said that was at BFI Flare, so that's a recent innovation, isn't it, for BFI? That focus on queer cinema as well, isn't it?
I don't know how long it's been around. Maybe 25 years. It's an amazing festival. It's where Savannah and I met.
So, is there any particular scene in Body Electric that stood out for you, or maybe is the one that has a direct influence to you making later?
Well, there's a scene where a drag queen is driving on a moped through Sao Paulo with someone on the back, and they just look like a superhero, and I burst out crying. And Savannah said to me, "We need to make a feature together so that you can give that response to somebody else." Genuinely, that's what she said, and that's what we tried to do with Layla.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's kind of, I mean, that's almost legit. Like when I was thinking of, oh, there goes the time. So let me stop that. That was lit. I've often thought about this sort of idea for the show as being like, what film made you want to be a filmmaker? What film did? But the idea that a moment in a film could spark an instant.
Yeah, it really did. That film had a huge effect on Layla and me, and just the feeling that I wanted queer people to have when they watched my film.
But also that lovely idea of films providing personal biography as well. You know, it's now a foothold in your journey as well, isn't it?
Exactly. It really is.
Which, like as Savannah said, now you're hopefully you're going to provide that foothold for the viewer that sees your movie and turns to their producer friend and says,
"Yeah, if I'm so lucky."
Right then, your second film is a comedy drama that was dedicated by the director to Bette Davis, Gina Rowlands, and Roma Schneider. It's ranked number 32 in the non-English speaking film critics poll conducted by the BBC. I'm talking about 1999's All About Mother, written and directed by Pedro Almodóvar, and sees the return of Penelope Cruz to his casting after she was in 1997's Live Flesh. Where for you does this fit? What's the impact of this movie for you as a viewer or as a filmmaker?
For me, this is much more about the worlds of films. This really taught me about filmmaking as a place to sort of kind of dream of the world that you want. I mean, I think what's amazing about Almodóvar's films is they're queer in just the making of the film, even if the stories aren't, inherently queer. Yeah. In Almodóvar films, the set design is like a drag queen's idea of what a living room should look like. Things happen in Almodóvar films that are unexplained and you just take them as given. I mean, in All About My Mother, nuns are fucking drag queens. The Penelope Cruz character is pregnant with the baby of a drag queen and that's, no one judges that. It's just sort of, okay, nuns are having sex with drag queens. Okay. And so the very DNA of the world is queer. I can't remember which Almodóvar film it is, but there's a scene in an Almodóvar film where someone goes to a florist and the florist is just a drag queen and it's not commented upon. It's just, okay, drag queens are florists. In this
okay.
movie. And a lot of Layla is a nod to that. If you think about, in Layla, there's a scene in a bus where they're all getting into drag and nobody in the bus comments. Everyone's just sat there bored. Mm. There's a scene in a restaurant where Layla's in full drag and nobody even notices. And it's not, it's me just saying, what if the world was this queer, where drag queens were on buses all the time and drag queens were in restaurants? And, what Almodóvar, and another thing that Almodóvar does is he loves women in the way a gay person thinks women are superheroes. That's not so much in Layla because it's so much about that relationship. But in a lot of my other work and my future films and a thing I'm making at the moment, a short actually, I'm very interested in how women are, for gay men, sort of you know, they're superheroes of defiance and beauty and glamour. And, you know, there's a, and Almodovar is just emblematic of that relationship between gay men and womanhood. And, you know, even in Layla, their sister, there's a whole thread where Layla is obsessed with a piece of clothing that their sister wore as a kid that they wish that they could wear. And in the end, they do kind of wear it, and they have this moment with their sister. And, you know, it's this, and there's a moment in the Muslim wedding where Layla is trying to dance like the woman, but it's too scared. It's this idea of womanhood being a kind of, or femininity rather, being a place of solace for gay men. And I just think, in Almodovar's film, it's, he just is obsessed with, I mean, the film is called All About My Mother. It's this like kind of psychological obsession with women and mothers. So, you know, that film is just, it just speaks, and I have a very, very close relationship with my mother, who's a very glamorous woman, and I'm a drag queen, and that's really a love letter to her. And so, and you know, Layla is all about femininity as an exalting force. And so, yeah, it's just all about my mother. It's just an amazing, it's a world where women, and whether they're nuns, whether it's the trans woman character, whether it's the mother, whether it's the actress, it's all about womanhood and femininity being superpower. I love that film very much. He's also a genius. Like, the writing, the storytelling, it's just exceptional filmmaking.
I want to add something, but we're about 2 seconds away from the alarm going off. But I will... thinking about what you were saying there about, you know, drag queens can be florists, drag queens can have, can sleep with nuns, and you can be in full drag in a restaurant or on a bus and nobody bats an eyelid. Do you feel that there's a responsibility as a filmmaker to set, you know, because in a way, you know, we're not influenced all the while, but the more commonplace we see things, the more they become less unusual. So the more we can, and films are a good vehicle for that. Do you feel a responsibility for that?
To be honest, I try not to feel the responsibility of representation, in that, you know, I don't think films are kind of have a moral responsibility personally, in the sense that I don't think I need to be representing all queer people or all Arab people with my work. You know, I think that is an unfair burden to put on me. I just want to represent the world as I feel it and I see it. And if that resonates with someone, that then that's great. And I sort of think every piece of work is its own thing. In Layla, it was about a love story and a fairy tale where, instead of external conflict, it's all about the internal world. So it didn't make sense to have violence or homophobia. It wasn't right for that story. I'm working on a short film that I'll be filming in February, which is about homophobia, and it's still in a, not in a kind of violent way, in a quite sort of psychopathic way, in a kind of almost Kubrick-y way. So that will have a much sort of harder tone to it. But I just think whatever works for the work. I personally don't believe in sort of representational burdens.
Yeah, but I suppose what I mean, that was maybe a bad question by me, but it was like, when you were talking about Almodovar, you were saying that it's queer in of itself, you know, like, because he's, whether it's about queer subjects or not, he's just presenting the world as he wants, as his films.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I love about, that's exactly right.
I mean, it's kind of it's politics with a small p. It's not like you're going out to make a thing, but everything we are able to, every time we're able to make a point, whether it be through film or whatever, it's like there is a politics with a small p going on.
I suppose, I honestly, these days, I just try not to worry too much about the politics, because I think that's, you know, I'm not an essay writer, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I don't know. I try not to worry too much about the politics, because otherwise I go a bit mad.
Right then. Your third film, and I can't believe in 18 months of me doing this, is the first time this has come up, by the way.
Yeah, that's funny.
I thought this one would have been quite a lot, but a film that is in the official top 250 narrative feature films on Letterboxd and was shot in Bulgaria, Sicily, the director's hometown. It largely draws on his childhood experiences as his inspiration for the film. The intention, apparently, was that the movie should serve as an obituary for traditional movie theatres, like the one in the film, and the movie industry in general. But after the movie's success, the director never mentioned this again. Ranked six places higher than All About My Mother in the BBC poll of non-English-speaking films, I'm talking about 1988's Cinema Paradiso, written and directed by Giuseppe Tornatore. Do you want to talk about where this film impacts on you, where you see it for the first time even?
I saw it when I was about sort of 16, I think, with my mother. She'd always talked about how much she loved that film and how kind of just important it was to her. I don't really think about this film in terms of the filmmaking or the politics, you know, or the writing, really. I just think there's such a love in that film for cinema, for family. It's so cinematic and romantic and sentimental and just sort of emotionally expressive in a way that maybe we don't see as much anymore in cinema. You know, people are a bit more restrained, or they think maybe, you know, they worry about being on the nose or being too emotional, or characters maybe just saying what's in their heart. And I see that, you know, I think we are in a more kind of, emotions might be cringe, or people like not to say how they're feeling, or, you know, everything's valid, obviously. But I just like how that film is just so, such an unapologetically romantic love to cinema, and the relationship between Alfredo and the little boy is so beautiful. And, you know, they just adore each other and they hug each other, and I miss that level of emotion in cinema. Sometimes you see it in films like Carol and Todd Haynes, which is just so unapologetically just romantic, or films like, I mean, you know, Carol really is a great example of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, you know, After Sun, where the relationship between the father and son is daughter, sorry, is so sweet. And I just miss that kind of tenderness. And something in Layla that was important to me was to just not be cynical, just make it full of love, have great romantic scenes, great sex scenes, great friendships, the family to be loving, as well as some darkness and twistedness and edge. But yeah, I'm a sucker for romance and for tenderness. The head of Sundance, Kim Yutani, when she talked about Layla, she said it was, what did she say? Fun, tender, and flashy. I think all those three films maybe each hit one of those. The Cinema Paradiso is very tender. All About My Mother is flashy, and Body Electric is fun.
And you said you came to Cinema Paradiso through your mother. You watched that with you. It was a favorite of your mother. So was she watching it with you the first time? Was it a very much a here you go, here you go, son. watch this film.
It just, yeah, we watched it together, and I was just crying loads during some really, I think there's a really beautiful scene where there's a fire that happens, and then the projectionist is blind, goes blind, which is devastating. And then the young boy, the next time he sees him, gives him a big hug and says, Alfredo, and is so full of love. And I just burst out crying with my mum. And it was just and my mum and I weren't in a great place then. We were fighting all the time, but still it was sort of the power of cinema for just of us to cry and express our emotions and hug, even though, you know, we weren't really getting on. It's sort of the power of cinema to bring people together, I think.
Yeah. It's kind of a macro version. Obviously we go to our cinema and sit in the dark. We go to the cinema, sit in the dark, and then Cinema Paradiso sort of makes makes the cinema a whole village almost, you know, and like the shared experience of a village. So it's like you're kind of driven by, you're connected by the village in cinema, and that's a kind of lovely way to convey it.
Mm-hmm.
That brings us to the end of our three films that have impacted everything in your adult life. It just gives me to say thank you very much for giving your time on the Britflix podcast.
All right, thanks so much for having me. That was great. I really enjoyed it.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.